Let's get an update from you, Brooks, for a few minutes here on the plans to go into the center of the Earth. You were thinking about a Russian ship. I'm not sure that worked out. Where do we stand on this?
Well, it's a long saga. As it turns out, these are Russian international waters, so we have to use a Russian ship. We tried using Norwegian ships and Canadian ships, and they just won't sail to the area that we want to go. So it's got to be the Russian ship. Now, that being said, the Russian shipping company is very excited about the expedition. They've supported it with a joint venture. We've got a 450-foot-long, 23,000-ton nuclear-powered icebreaker. It'll only carry 100 passengers, so we have to be very discriminating as to who we put on there to make sure we get a good, solid scientific staff. And we've got people from Stanford, and we've got papers from Washington University and Harvard and MIT. So we've got a very good, solid scientific base. And we're actually sailing to an area above the Arctic Circle that no one has ever been to by sea. Now, it's been flown over a few times, not the least of which is Admiral Byrd, but no one's ever been there by sea, just because these are Russian international waters, and they don't go there. So we're not really going into the center of the Earth, but there is an ancient legend that there is an opening into the Earth up there. And we couldn't, of course, convince the Russians to sail their ship into it, but they'll get us close to the opening, if there is one, and we'll fly over it with a helicopter and photograph it. And the idea is that we will stream live from the ship during the entire cruise, from at least four channels going 24 hours a day. So what we see, the people will see. Now, you asked what's the progress. Obviously, with only 100 berths, we can't take everybody on the planet. But everybody wants to go. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of people that have written us. So we realize that everyone's going to experience this through film, through some kind, either on a DVD in our theater or on some television special. So Hollywood had to get integrally involved. And so we began speaking to Hollywood talent about a year and a half ago, and we now finally have some personalities that are financially solid enough to be able to back this. Mm. And we've just now finished the screenplay. Yes, you have to write a screenplay for a documentary. I didn't know that. And that is going to the producer this next week. So we are making progress.
Well, you can write up to the point of going into the hole.
Yeah.
And then what, right?
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, there's a theory, not a theory, but there's a legend. And it goes way back. I mean, before Edmund Halley, who first wrote about it in the 1600s, that there may be an ancient civilization that got wiped off the surface, or at least had to retreat off the surface into the interior of the Earth. We backed this up last fall when we went to Egypt. We followed up on again. I told you I was going to.
Yes.
And it turns out that there are records going all the way back to Abydos in Egypt that say that the ancient society that built those edifices retreated into the Earth. Now, we don't know if that means caves or if they actually, you know, were driven by some cataclysm to live off the surface. And after a couple of decades, it became impossible for them to return to the surface. But they're more ancient than any civilization that lives on the surface.
And
if that's true, then they may come out to see us. And when they do, we'll get it on film.
As you mentioned, Egypt, Zahi Hawass, who headed up their antiquities, was leaving his post, and I hear he's back in again, so he's going to stick around.
It's a difficult thing to leave for him. He has such a passionate desire to make sure that Egypt is remembered as the one who not only made these things anciently, although there's a lot of controversy about that. Even his own university in Cairo recently released a paper that said they're pretty convinced that these things are at least 13,000 years old and maybe older than that. Of course, that predates any before Egypt was even Egypt. So, and they're beginning to admit that maybe off-worlders help build these things because of the precision and the alignment with Sirius and Orion. These are not things that primitive people would have thought about. Not that people that could build an edifice like Cheops were primitive, but there you go. You have this this hold that Zawi Hawass has had on these antiquities for so long. And really, if it wasn't for him, the whole place would have been looted years ago. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much they've already lost to other nations who have come in and just taken stuff home with them.
Brooks, as people would go into the center, into the hole, I guess via the tip there in from the ocean, the curvature is so ever so slight, you don't even know you're doing it, right?
Yeah, that's true. And that's how I actually got involved with the expedition way back in 2005. They had posted a question, how do we tell if we're sailing into an opening or not? And I tackled the question. I said, well, maybe we could use GPS. So we investigated that and found that, well, at above the 80th parallel, you can only see three satellites from sea level. And that's not enough to get an altitude precise enough. Now, it is if you're flying a plane at 40,000 feet, but not at sea level. So the next was to use sonar, bounce it off the bottom and see if the ocean gets shallower or something. But that wasn't sound because what if the bottom was coming up towards you, you know, the topology of the bottom of the sea. So we couldn't use an altimeter because sea level's pretty much always sea level. And so the idea was to build a precision gyroscope and actually map the curvature of the Earth. In other words, the rate at which it curves based on how far forward you sail. If we were sailing into an opening, then the radius would be noticeably smaller, and that gyroscope would begin over-rotating. At that point, we'd realize that we were sailing over the lip into something, and we would then start tacking back and forth to try to map the circumference of this opening. Some say it's several hundred miles across, and of course it is. You'd never be able to see it from sea level.
If it's there, Brooks, why is it such a secret? What is there that they're hiding?
I'm not really sure. You know, in 2007, when the ice broke off, there was a very strange wind that blew, and conditions with warming and everything were just right. A huge continent-sized piece of ice broke off and opened what we call the Northwest Passage for the first time in, I don't know, 100,000 years maybe. You could sail it, but nobody did. Nobody went there. There was no reason for anyone to sail. There was no commerce. So it really hasn't been sailed, at least from a civilian point of view. And I kind of say tongue-in-cheek, if the military would have sailed there, of course they would have shared all the information with us. But that's the only thing I can think of. You know, we reviewed over 30,000 satellite photographs of this region, cloud cover, every single one of them. No clear view of the actual sea. So it's a mystery, and it's the ultimate myth to bust.
It sure is. Well, it's a dramatic story. Let's talk a little bit, just for a few minutes here, Brooks, before the break, and then we'll get into weather manipulation and some of the other things you're doing. Admiral Richard Byrd, when he apparently went into the center, went into the hole, he saw incredible things, didn't he?
Well, that's what's reported in a diary that has been circulated, and we've done as much investigation as probably anybody out there, and I just cannot be convinced that Admiral Byrd authored that diary. I know enough about his life, enough about his military history. He was a super patriot. He was dedicated to his country, and he would have given everything for it. And if he was ordered not to say anything about his flight over the North Pole in 1926 or over the South Pole in 1929, he would not have said anything to his dying day. But he did verbally discuss things with people. And those verbal discussions have grown over the years, over the last 75 years, into what we have today, this myth of his plane being seized by some tractor beam and pulled into the center of the Earth and then spending time with giant beings down there and learning that, you know, we're ravaging the surface and all the things that people put behind that today. We just couldn't validate it, George. So we decided, and I'm a scientist, so I don't really believe in anything. I've got to have data. I've got to have proof, pictures, a nut, a bolt, a leaf, a bone, anything. I want something more than personal testimony. I want to witness it and let everybody see it at one time. And I think that'll be an earth-changing event